Lately in the news, we've been hearing a lot about TPS, or temporary protected status, specifically as it relates to Salvadorans. Donald Trump has said that by September of 2019, temporary protected status for Salvadorans would be revoked.
The Trump administration announced that it will end temporary immigration status.
Anuncia el fin de los permisos.
200,000 Salvadorans are being told that they have to leave the country by September 2019.
So we decided to do a TPS 101. What's it all about? And in our studio is our newest producer for Latino USA, Sayer Quevedo. Hey, Sayer.
Hi, Maria.
So about TPS.
So I'm going to give you the kind of quick explanation here. So TPS for Salvadorans was given in 2001, and that was after this huge earthquake hit El Salvador, and it killed thousands of people, destroyed thousands of homes.
Municipios de los 262 con los que cuenta El Salvador. Los muertos eran.
That status was renewed for the last 17 years, and Trump's decision is basically to not renew that status anymore. There are 200,000 Salvadoran TPS recipients in the United States. And so that's 200,000 people who have homes, businesses. Again, 17 years have passed since that designation was given, which is why I decided to head to Brentwood, Long Island. Long Island has a large Latino population, and the majority of that Latino population is made up of Salvadorans. Many of the Salvadorans who live on Long Island have TPS. When this news came out, it was very, very impactful. And so, yeah, so I caught a train out to Brentwood, and I went to the consulate of El Salvador. It's generally bustling. I've been there a few times before, actually, and there's a little van that sits outside that sells pupusas.
And, oh, yum.
Yeah, and so when I arrived, it was super busy, and I met this lawyer. His name is Eduardo Rivera Yolca, and he was basically just in conversation the whole entire time with different folks who were coming into the consulate, and he admitted to me that he actually hadn't eaten breakfast. It was about 2 p.m. when I arrived.
You realize that it's like almost 2, right?
I know, yeah. But, you know, with all of this going on, it's kind of hard to, like, find time to eat, which is weird. Yeah.
So he's there every day kind of what, like looking for work? What's he doing?
He's an immigration lawyer, not for the consulate. He basically comes in and gives people legal advice and helps answer questions. And he's there Tuesdays and Wednesdays every week. He says that in the last week or so, he's gotten a bunch of questions about TPS. There's a lot of confusion about what this means for people.
I feel like I'm disappointing people because when they talk to an attorney, they expect us to tell them that everything is going to be all right and that we're going to find an option. But unfortunately, for most people, there are no real options at this point.
And frankly, that's the sad part of this story, Sayer, is that really right now, there is like nothing that you can say or do in this situation.
It's leaving people with these two options, right? Which is one, they sell their houses, they give up their jobs, they pack up their lives and they go back to El Salvador, or they can stay without documentation and basically live in the shadows, is how, you know, the next person who we're going to hear from described his potential life. He's saying that he is not leaving, and his name is Omar Salinas, and he's an activist for basically a pro-residency solution to TPS. He himself is a TPS holder from El Salvador. And he's got 3 kids, and the oldest one is 10 years old.
La niña más grande, claro, ella verdad sabe lo que está pasando, entonces ella.
He's talking about having this conversation with his oldest daughter, who's 10 years old. She's about to start middle school. And she says, yeah, I mean, I'm starting middle school, but I'm only going to be there for 6 months. And he's like, why are you only going to be there for 6 months? She's like, the 18 months are going to be up. One of the themes that kind of popped up when I was having conversations with folks at the consulate is like, how do you have conversations with your kids about these sort of things? Where do you begin a conversation about we may have to pack up and leave the only life that you've known and go back to a country you've never been to before?
Which is, by the way, like really, really scary for most people, just scary.
So the El Salvador that people left in 2001 or a little bit before 2001 is not the El Salvador that exists right now. And there's, you know, it's, I don't want to harp on it too much because I think having been and traveled to El Salvador many times, it's much more than the violence that occurs there. But the violence is a reality for many, many people. And I think that's a really scary aspect for folks who are having to contemplate having to go back and bring, you know, their families and young children there. There are 200,000 people whose lives are going to be greatly impacted by this decision. You know what? Not just individuals, it's full communities. Like Brentwood, Long Island is a community of Salvadorans, many of them who have TPS.
And now all of a sudden, they're going to have to go underground, and there's some real repercussions for them.
And that kind of brings me to the last person that I spoke to. I caught a cab from the consulate back to the train. And as we were driving to the train station, you know, the cab driver asked me, like, what are you doing at the consulate of El Salvador? And I said, oh, I'm speaking to folks about TPS. And he said, oh, I have TPS. I was like, oh, can I interview you? So he pulled over his car on the side of the road, and I interviewed him right there and then in his car. He was a singer with a band in El Salvador and then came to the U.S. and Canada on a visa in 1999. And that is around the time that the earthquake struck, and it destroyed his house. He actually lost his sister, and so he stayed, and he was eligible for TPS. And so now he's got a family of his own. He's got a driver's license, obviously, and he works. He says he pays his taxes every year. You know, what he basically told me was, like, I've got, you know, I have this daughter who's 14 years old, and what it comes down to is, basically, if we don't all leave, I'm going to stay until she's old enough to work. He said, you know, maybe when she turns 17, and then I'll go back.
Y lo otro es acompañar a mi hija unos 3 años más aquí, ilegal, para estar cerca de ella, mientras ella cumpla una edad donde ella pueda trabajar.
I think it's also important to mention that we're talking a lot about the logistical aspects of this and what it means to leave the country, but the mental and emotional repercussions of this are also really real, and that's something that he also brought up in the conversation.
Hay gente que está deprimida. Yo conozco gente que está deprimida. Ya hubo un caso que se mataron de la noticia. No sé por qué circunstancias, en qué les impactó.
He says, look, yeah, people are depressed. People don't know what to do. It's hard to live your life in this situation, but... But then he says, look, in the community, as far as he knows, we haven't reported it, but he says, you know, there was at least one suicide because of this. And that is part of what people are missing, is that there are real lives and people are making decisions about their future, things they never thought they'd have to do.
One of the things that if you read any article, go to any comment section, go to any sort of Twitter feed about TPS, you'll have people constantly saying, well, it's temporary. It's temporary. And something that someone said to me while I was at the consulate was like, how can something that's 17 years old be temporary, right? And so it's something to think about, right? Like, these aren't temporary lives that people built. These are roots that people built. And these folks are not going home. They're going back. This is home.
Thanks for going out to Brentwood, Long Island for us, Sayer. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sayer Quevedo is a producer here at Latino USA.